Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
How are you, Cindy?
Very good. And it's funny because last week we got an email from one of our regular listeners, and thank goodness we have such a great fan base. And she was, you know, sort of commenting that, you know, Cindy, you say it once, you say it twice, you tell it 10 times, and sometimes women don't want to hear what you're saying, and they hear what they want to hear, like, he's going to come back,
yep.
He's going to be great, he's going to be the prince. And she said, Nicole hits hard, and they're not hearing it. So I thought today would be interesting because she's the first caller. And So I asked her, why can't you come on air and kind of say this to Nicole and I, and let's hear, like, and it was so funny because when she sent me that email, I remember having the feeling when I was doing the reading on air that this person's not hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's kind of why sometimes I step in with like a little bit of a heavier hand. You know, I don't want to discourage anybody, and I don't want to berate anybody, and I don't want to insult anybody. And I know that sometimes I can come off extremely abrasive, but I'm being abrasive because sometimes you need a little bit of abrasive. Sometimes when you're listening and you're only hearing the sweet parts, you're missing a lot that's in between the lines, and you're missing a lot of the true meaning of what you're actually being told. And every now and then you need that jolt. So I truly mean no disrespect. I do love all of our callers. But, sometimes you got to hit them hard. And sometimes
and then
you
you're
going to
find
in perspective.
This even a little more interesting because she had, you know, Facebooked me, the woman we're speaking to, about someone she had met online. And I had to get her little blinders off, too. So it's kind of funny. So we need her tonight. We need
all
her
right.
to reinforce all of our, like, get the blinders off.
Well, you got it. Well, what number is she? Because she did not press
she's
number one to let me know.
85864.
Okay. So, there she goes. Look, she just heard me say that she didn't press the button, and now she pressed the button.
Okay,
so,
good.
All right. Let's. Well, as usual, guys, I do not screen the first call. We're going to jump right into this first caller. And then if you care to talk to Cindy or I, please push that lovely number one on your telephones, and I'll be more than happy to screen you and get you on the air. So let's see how this goes. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicole. How are you? It's Elaine. I don't think
Hello,
that you
Elaine.
Were sounding abrasive at all. I think that you were sounding very caring and wanting to really, you know, get the importance of you know, the facts that you were stating, so that the person could really be helped.
And sometimes they don't want to be helped.
Right. Exactly. And in order to pursue another relationship down the road, it's so important what Nicole and Cindy are saying is that fixing yourself should be first and foremost, and then after you fix yourself, then you can go on to a healthier relationship. Because if you don't, you know, the advice that you're offering people is very logical, and it makes a lot of sense, especially, you know, with the spirit guides helping. And I just feel like sometimes women may say, but, well, and then it's,
but I really love him. But I really love him.
Right.
But, you know, but, I really love him.
Exactly.
Who doesn't come home, who doesn't work, who drinks, who cheats on me. But I really love him. What do you love? I mean,
well,
it's,
and you're only going to attract. It's like you're going to, you go, if you don't really fix yourself and really know what is right for you, you are never, it's like you're never going to go forward.
Right.
And
you've learned a lot of this. You've been reading the books. You've been listening to us for quite some time. And yet, even though you hear us every week saying, don't trust everybody you meet online, maybe they're lying, maybe they're not telling you the truth, could you share a little bit about, you know, how you learned in 5 minutes something that you probably might have taken a year to learn in the past?
Well, it's, you know, I feel like, you know, people are calling in because they're desperately seeking a change of in lifestyle, a change of life in their surroundings, and what I keep hearing you and Nicole saying is, so you have to fix yourself, do this, do that, and then it's as if it's those ways of having the callers having to fix themselves. Sometimes it's going over their heads, and they're not really listening to exactly what you're saying. They're jumping, well, what about in the future? Will I meet this person if I, you know, stop this relationship?
Well, here's the thing with that, Elaine. I don't think that it's going over their heads. I think it's coming right at their heads, and they're ducking.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's really what's going on here.
Right.
We're aiming right for their brains here, and they're ducking. And,
right.
You know, Tony Robbins, you know, coined, you know, this phrase, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten.
Right.
And people need to realize, you know, especially women in today's day and age, because the gender gap is just completely muddled, okay? And you know, gender roles are completely muddled. You know, I mean, so we're really in a state right now where a woman's role is no longer as defined as it once was, and neither is the male role. So
mm-hmm.
we're all in this state of ambiguity. And I know that sometimes, you know, women, you know, that they're concerned with, oh, my God, well, you know, will I get the right job, and will I meet the right guy, and will I do this, and will I do that? And I am all for the power of positive thinking. But
mm-hmm.
it's going to take more than a wish and a wishing well to get you to where you want to be. And if you're not changing who you are in order to get something that you don't have, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Okay? Because, you know, that's really the bottom line of it. You're doing something wrong. It has nothing to do with the people that you're meeting. It has to do with the people that you're attracting and the people that you're going for. It has nothing to do with the job that you want to get. It has to do with the job that you're settling for.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're changing you, and unless you're changing, you know, your perspective on things, nothing is going to change for you. You're going to be in for more of the same thing. And it's going to be the same, you know, you can get a new boyfriend, okay? Your old boyfriend might have been shit. If you're not changing you, you're getting the same guy, in a, you know, different guy, same dumpster.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm sorry I have to go, but I want to, I told Cindy that I have every Thursday something that I committed to. So I'm going to miss hearing everybody, but I really felt like I just, you know, wanted to say what I was feeling.
And we love it. And
thank
you so
Elaine.
Much because it was great feedback.
Well, you know what, and I thank you girls for really taking the time out of your personal lives to really help, you know, a lot of
thank
people.
You.
Because,
well, thank you.
Yeah, it means a lot. It means a lot. And so, you know, thank you girls. And I would, like I said, I'll be back in 7 weeks, but hopefully I'll get a quick call in before then. I'll email you, Cindy.
Good. Well, good luck, and thanks for calling in.
Okay,
thank you so much, Elaine.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, funny enough, she had Facebooked me that she met this guy online, and, you know, she's been praying for soulmate and she's hoping it's him. And I'm like, I got to remind people, just because you're praying for the soulmate doesn't mean the next person you meet's the soulmate. Let's like make sure we get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I asked, okay, she said, what vibe are you getting? I asked, well, where does he live? And she said, he's in, you know, he's overseas in Afghanistan. Everybody's in Afghanistan. And then, you know, I said, okay, well, where does he live when he's coming back in 2 months? She said, Buffalo. I go, why would he want to get involved with you on Long Island if he lives in Buffalo?
Exactly.
You know, it's those always give me the signs that these are commitment phobics or sex addicts. They want to be able to have a long-distance romance where you can't possibly drive up to Buffalo and check them. So anyway, I sort of put that seed in her head, and then she did her – I said, have you, you know, Googled his name? Have you checked? And then when she looked further, she realized he had 3 profiles with different information.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, you know, don't think people just – I love the line, oh, I didn't realize you were on Long Island. They know exactly where you are, these guys. You know, so don't – So,
you know, whole thing is that the whole idea of, oh, I didn't realize you were in Long Island, tends to happen on like the first or second conversation, not necessarily the first or second month of conversation.
Right. And know that I'm not trying to get people to be jaded, but if you're online and you're meeting somebody, and it's always this long distance and they're way here and they're this, you know, just go with a little bit of radar that maybe this isn't exactly.
Yeah.
And
or how about
been...
this? Put it out there. Just put it out there. Say flat out, well, you know what? We can talk if you want to be friends, but I really don't see this going anywhere else because you are geographically undesirable.
Right, exactly. And
see what happens. You know, I mean, if somebody wants to be your friend, then great. If they want to relocate, super. But call them out on that crap.
But everybody's going to relocate. Everybody's going to, you know, come on. You know, it's getting to be where you have to really pay attention when you're online more than even in everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and she wanted to know, could this be the one, could be this? And I go, please don't ask me to do a, you know, my feelings are, don't ask me to do a psychic reading on somebody I haven't met because I don't even know who he says he is.
Exactly.
Until you've met somebody, let's have like a new 21st century rule. You don't have a relationship and you don't know somebody until you meet them.
Exactly.
You may think you know them because you've been texting them or chatting with them online, but you don't know them until you're face-to-face with these people. So until then, don't build something in your mind or think it's more than it is, because it really sets you up for a really big slap downhill. And I'm glad this was only a day or two she was communicating with this guy, so it wasn't a big loss, but sometimes this goes on for months, they don't meet. So, you know, it's one of those things, yes, you have to try online, yes, it's a way of meeting people, but really go in, you know, assuming people are lying until you get enough facts to know that they're not. Because it's just really gotten, you know, I hear this all the time with women, they're really getting hurt from these sites, so just a little bit of protecting us, don't you think?
Absolutely.
You know, and again, I'm not asking people to get jaded, but, you know.
No, don't get jaded, get smart.
Right, and yeah, exactly.
Get educated.
And if you tell a guy, well, I've been praying for a soulmate, he's going to, of course, say, oh, this is kismet, I've been praying for one too. They come up with the bullshit now. They have all the lines of the guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing. So, you know, sometimes they're slick talkers, sometimes this. And, you know, just, you know, make sure that you do know who you're talking to and that before you, you know, open up your world to them, make sure he is who he says he is. I mean, some of the sites, like Plenty of Fish, do not screen at all, and there's a lot of felons on there. And
yep.
One of my clients ended up dating a guy who was arrested a few years back, but because his family was so sort of connected, he went to jail for a very short period of time, you know, claimed he was high on angel dust and he chopped up somebody and buried him in the sand.
Dear God.
Like that's nice. That's nice, right? I mean, this is some guy she met online. So, of course, when I'm doing a reading with her and I'm seeing he's not good, you know, this is not a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, and when she said that, I go, yeah, well, that's kind of what I saw here. He's not a good guy. And now that you're involved in him, you're going to have to be a little strategic working your way out of here so you're not chopped up in the sand. You're going to have to tell him, I'm sorry, it's me, it's not you, I can't do this, but find a way to get out of it. You know, but those are the stories you can't make up. You know what I mean?
You really can't. You know what? Women out there really need to get hip to the fact that sometimes the, you know, who they're perceiving to be the knight in shining armor is really just an asshole in tinfoil. I mean,
exactly.
Just wisen up.
And, you know, again, it's, we hear the same stories over and over again. But again,
yep.
I always, someone who wants a real relationship online does not want someone 9 hours away. It's different if you met somewhere at a convention and you happen to live 9 hours away. You've met them. It happens.
Yep.
But for somebody who's deliberately contacting someone who lives 9 hours away from them, they don't want a regular relationship. They don't want a relationship.
No.
Now, who wants to travel 9 hours to see somebody?
Not me.
That's what I'm saying. So if you had to because you fell in love with them or they had to move away for business, that's different. But why start something when there's that big an obstacle between you, unless you want that big an obstacle between you?
Oh, yeah. Well, if that obstacle is between you, then it's always the obstacle's fault. It's never yours.
Exactly. And then especially, you know, these people know you can never stop and over and catch them in anything, you know.
Exactly.
And that's a little scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do see that we do have someone that wants to talk to us.
We do, and because I was so involved in our call with Elaine and just now, I have not screened this one either. So now we're getting a twofer of calls that I have not screened. So we're going to go over to this next call.
And just remind people, Nicole, what do they have to do if they want to talk to us?
If they want to talk to us, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a care or concern, just press #1 on your telephone and a little sign will pop up that says, Nicole, screen me and put me on the air. And I will do that. So
perfect.
Here we go. Let's go to the last 4 digits of your number so that you know that we are speaking to you are 0312. So let's see who's waiting for us there, shall we? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Pat.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Okay, Annie. How are you?
Good. So you heard our talk about, you know, people getting the blinders off a little bit. Do we say that a lot on the show? And
yes, I heard everything. Yep. I hope people are paying attention, especially when they're on that stupid computer. You got to
shut the computers off. Shut the computers off. Go into Starbucks and meet somebody for a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Exactly. The best way to meet somebody is through a friend.
Exactly.
That's true. How did you meet your lover, Grace? How did you meet her? I don't never knew that story, even though I've known you a long time.
Actually, I originally met in Home Depot. I worked at Home Depot. I opened up a store in Ozone Park.
Wow.
And she was in an apartment. And I kept saying, I didn't even realize anything was happening. It just took like a liking to her, and I kept watching. I kept telling her, come in the electrical department, come in the electrical department. And I kept watching everything that was happening to her. And when they decided she wouldn't sleep with one of the guys that was there, he made up a thing and he fired her. I was like crazy when they fired her because she was in my department and she was very good. But nothing, that was in 1994. So we stayed like friends afterwards. We used to meet every now and then with my mother. We used to meet for lunch. But nothing ever happened until 2007 when we were in Florida here. All of a sudden, boom, it just happened. I cut my finger. She touched my finger and said, oh, my gracious. And then all of a sudden she looked at me. I looked and she got very nervous and ran in the bedroom where Michael and Alexander were. And she
wow.
was, like, scared. And all of a sudden that just hit us, just like that.
Wow. Well,
so
you met her working, going about your life, and know that that's what we're trying to say. What happened to people meeting at work, play, you know, through friends, through acquaintances? Like, we have to get back to that a little bit, you know? I think it's something that if people don't put their cell phones down when they're waiting online or when they're, you know, somewhere, you miss the opportunity to talk to people. So that's important. Now, I know, Pat, you've been waiting, and what's on your mind, because you're, you know, I've known you a few years now, too, right? It's been
Yes, yeah, a long time. Actually, I'm still in Florida, believe it or not.
Wow. Well, don't come rush back yet. Still, it's getting better here, but wait till it gets warmer.
I was missing all of the weather and whatever, but I've been trying to work in the condo yet. Because, like I told you, I know whether I wanted to sell it or rent it. Make a long story short, my really question is, actually, I was talking to my niece, Arlene, and she's having trouble where she is. She wants to get out of where she is. She wants to come back to New York. She lives in Pennsylvania. It's tough for her, blah, 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 blah. Make a long story short. nobody's ever helped this kid. So we got the idea, well, maybe she wants to help her out. Maybe she wants to go to Riverhead for a while, and she'll pay the bills for me in Riverhead, you know, my maintenance and the electric and the gas and stuff. So do you think that that's a good idea?
Okay. Is she known to pay her bills?
Oh, yes. She's very good at that.
Good. And you checked her credit rating?
No, I didn't check her credit rating.
Okay. Just, I mean, I would advise you, even if it's a family member, to, you know, just check her credit rating, make sure, you know, that she's going to do what she says she's going to do, because you don't want her moving in there and then she's not paying you and she's not doing what she says. Do you know what kind of trouble she's having where she lives right now?
No, she's not having any trouble. She just wants to get out of Pennsylvania. She's lonely there. There's no family, nobody there. But her job was in Pennsylvania, so she wants to move and she wants to put a transfer in and come closer to Long Island so that she can get closer to her relatives.
Okay. Well, it looks like if she gets the transfer, it'll be okay. And it looks like she probably will get the transfer. So, has she said, you know, she wants to, is she seriously thinking about this?
What do you mean seriously thinking? You mean about going to Riverhead? Yeah.
Right.
Actually, one of the places where she put in for is in Riverhead. So
well,
she
good.
Put in for the certain thing, but she's waiting to see if they get Riverhead, or I think the other place is in Comac, I think. But no, Deer Park. And then she wants to go back into Manhattan to work because that's where she made her money. In Pennsylvania, she's by herself. There's nobody there to help her. She has a four-year-old. The baby's going to be 4 years old April 1st. And it's tough for her there, and there's nobody there to help her.
All right, so it looks like it looks okay. Just make sure if she comes, you put everything in writing, by the way. You know, that, you know, it's sort of like make it legal, though, like that she's paying you this, she's here for this, you know. Just, you know, it's one of those things you have to always protect yourself. You know, you're trying to do something nice and help her, but, you know, you don't want it being that she doesn't move out when you need her to move out or, you know, things like that, you know. Right. I mean, you just don't want, you know, you want to put it that, you know, she pays a certain amount each month. She pays this, she pays that, so that the bills are actually paid. And then, you know, just a little bit in writing here.
I told her she'll pay my maintenance and she's going to pay the gas and the electric. I'm on a budget on the gas and electric. But I did talk to her today and I told her that's because I'm not living there. So it's like $65 for the gas and, the electric and $91 for the gas on a budget. But I said, I'm not really there that much. So that's that. I said, it might rise because you're actually going to be living there. So it might rise, $10 or $15, $5. I don't know what it's going to be. That's okay. She pays $300 every 3 months for water. She pays over $1,000 a month rent for this house that she's renting. And she pays, I don't know how much, for water. So I think it's $300 every month and then $195 for the gas a month. So it's kind of tough on her, you know. So.
Right, but just put it in writing a little bit, you know, just for yourself, because, which means that, you know, if she doesn't pay, then, you know, or whatever, because you don't want her living there ringing up, you know, the gas and everything else, and you can't get her out of there. Because when someone lives in a place in New York, unfortunately, it's very hard to get them out.
Yeah, well, it's just to get her on her feet, and I told her, just to get you on your feet so you get yourself together because she's going
to get her own.
And
again, it's a little bit of rescuing here, get her on her feet, it's a little bit of rescuing. And,
yeah, it,
you know,
is, because nobody's ever helped this kid, and I know that for a fact. And even my brother helps her, and that's his own daughter. He doesn't.
Okay, but remember that rescuing goes around a triangle of persecute a victim. I don't want you to be like a victim of her when she doesn't pay and you have to persecute her, so... Just make sure that it's just in writing, the whole thing, because once, you know, even when my parents died, and I didn't rent their house out for the year, we were trying to sell it, because once you get people in New York, you can't get them out unless you go to the courts and you get the sheriff and you get everything else. So I'm not saying she's going to be a problem. I'm not necessarily saying she's going to be a problem. I'm just saying you always want to protect yourself just in case.
Well,
she never knows if she meets a boyfriend. And he comes and lives there, and then he doesn't want to get out.
I did make one stipulation, though, that I don't want my niece Tammy to be there, and I don't want my sister Debbie to be there. Those are the people that tried to hurt me when my mother passed away. And she knows that. She says, I don't see them anyway. I don't see anybody. So I'm not going to come, and neither is Tammy. Tammy's very self-centered and she's materialistic. She says, I don't really see her that much. I mean, I mean,
all right, but just make sure she can't move anybody else in. You never know. She thinks she falls in love. You hear the guys with people meeting, the felons and the crazies. I mean, how about she thinks she meets somebody and she's head over heels and he wants to move in or something like that? You know, just put it in that it's for her and her, you know, her child and whatever things you need to just to protect yourself. Because, you know, it might end up being something you'll regret if you don't. So it's just... I mean,
how long is he going to be there?
Well, it looks like it's going to take a few months even to get the transfer and everything.
Well, she's talking about is June 1st okay with me? And I said, yeah, I guess it's okay because I'm going to have to move some of my stuff around. I have to take a closet space. I have to put it away so that she can have some space to move in. She's going to put most of her stuff in storage. I don't want my bedroom set to come out. That's too heavy. It's real wood.
All right, so what you're going to do is just do what you got to do. It looks okay, but again, I would make it, you know, because God forbid you need to get her out of there. You have to make sure, because it could take a year to get rid of somebody in New York. Say you had to go back for some reason. You had to go move back. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be that if you need to move back, you can move back.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just protect yourself.
I thought about paperwork. I thought about just making up a piece of paper. I didn't think about a lease, but I don't know. Maybe I should do the lease.
I would do a lease just as you would do if there's any damage. She's responsible. I mean, it's just you have to. It's even when it's family members, I always tell people put it in writing. It's family, but those are the people that sometimes hurt us the most because they know we won't punish them. And just make a sort of a month-to-month lease and just for your own protection and this way, you know, she understands what her...
How long you think she's going to be there?
Well, she'll play there for as long as she can be. It's a good deal for her.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to get out of there too fast when she's there. So, you know, if you don't need it, then if she stays a few years, it's fine.
Yeah, but I don't want her there forever either. You know, I wanted her to get back on her feet and get her own way.
Again, you're rescuing her and telling her what you want. You want her to get back on her feet. What if she doesn't get back on her feet? So, think it through carefully and, you know, just have it in writing. It's month to month. Because if you need to move back there or if you want it, you know, you get to come back and everything.
Yes, I'm going to put that in there. Yes, definitely. That's a good idea.
That's what I'm just saying. And I know you love her and you trust her and your heart's good, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I remember, my wonderful nephew, Miles, I co-signed for his apartment, which was great. But, you know, thank God my father died. You're laughing at that. Thank God he died. Because at his funeral, I heard from my brother that Miles is moving out of the apartment because he's not working with his girlfriend. Now, Miles didn't tell me. And he just like sort of forgot that I co-signed it. And I said, Miles, you have to have in writing that I'm not responsible for that lease now that you're out of there. And, you know, thank God he took care of it and I got, you know, my name off of it. But you see how sometimes people forget. I mean, he didn't even think about that. That, you know, he's moving out. Yeah, that's great. But I'm the one responsible for that apartment. So you have to understand sometimes people don't think things through. So, you know, I'm just saying make sure you protect yourself.
Yeah, so you think a lease is better than a regular paper?
Yeah, it's because a paper is not very legal. So, you know, a lease or just even if you write in paper and you have it notarized, whatever, but it says the things you need it to say.
Especially about if I need to go back there.
Exactly, because in New York you cannot get people out.
You have about like 60 days or 90 days to get out?
Right, and sometimes you can't even do it without a sheriff, so... I'm not saying she would do that, but why even want to worry about anything?
Yeah. She's a pretty good kid, and I know she pays her bills. She's always had paid her bills, but it's just too much for her there now.
But we never know in this day and age of oxycodone. She breaks a leg, she gets hooked on oxycodone, and now she's not the same girl, you know.
That's true.
I am always telling people, in this day and age of Vicodin and oxycodone, you know, I've seen way too many people that were responsible and good hooked on this, and they're not the same people they were. So, you know, you have to always protect yourself. Well, let us know what happens. We're going to try to take another caller. Good luck to you. And
thank you very much for the info.
You're welcome. Bye.
Call you when I get back to New York.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, honey.
Okay. Okay, Nicole, does it make sense what I'm telling about what we have to do to protect ourselves with people? You know, sometimes we don't know who we're dealing with, or sometimes people can change or whatever. Now, I see you've done some screening. Okay, I don't know where Nicole is right now.
Yes,
okay.
No, I'm right here. My mic was acting all kind of funny. I had to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Okay, but did you understand what I was saying to her about, you know, protecting yourself when you're going to let
Absolutely.
Someone lease a space and... you know, I use the example of oxycodone because we really don't know. People are one way and then they're hooked on this stuff and they're different. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're not the ones who can't get somebody out of a place when we need them out. And, you know, nice people, we always want to get, could you hear the rescuing? I want to help her.
Absolutely.
I'm always like, you know, I know we want to help.
It is? It's that you can't be so busy rescuing everybody else and helping everybody else that you can't help yourself. So if you're not protecting yourself, and again, this is not about being jaded, and it's not about not wanting to help people, because you should help people. You know, it's
right.
Not to put that, you know, those acts of charity back into the world. But you have to be smart. You have to be smarter in today's day and age than we ever had to be in any previous time. You have to be smart about what you do, and you have to protect yourself first. You know, it's like being in an airplane. You're supposed to put your own mask on before you help your child, you know, because you're no good to anybody else if you go under. And when you're dealing with people that could potentially take you under, it's your job to protect you before you protect them.
Right. And even if, you know, I was exciting my nephew. He's young. I mean, he just forgot about it.
It wasn't that he was
trying to do something wrong, but now there's somebody else living in that apartment that I'm the co-signer of.
Sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with malice. Sometimes it's not people that want to be shiesty. Sometimes it's really a very generalized mistake that will cost you the most pain. So if you safeguard yourself against those things, both big and small, you'll be all right.
Right, and we can't assume things. I remember when I left my apartment and, you know, the landlord let me out of the lease and I'd lived there 8 years and I was an ideal tenant and cleaned the apartment, everything perfect. And, you know, I didn't really broach the topic, if I leave early, you're going to give me back my security, because maybe I knew the answer. But anyway, when the time came, he didn't give it back and I had to take him to court and realize that we can't assume if somebody says you can leave soon that they plan on doing what's right.
Absolutely.
You know? So, you know, it was a hard lesson for me, too. I couldn't believe after 8 years of living in a place that I have to take someone to court to give me back what's rightfully mine.
Yep.
So it's, you know, one of those things, even if you think people have been, he was great for 8 years. How am I, you know, why should I not trust a man that I've done business with for 8 years? But that's why I try to tell people, you know, when it comes to money, when it comes to things, and maybe we're helping somebody and they get in debt and we don't, you know, and then they can't pay or they can't do what they say they're going to do. We just have to make sure if that instance happens, you know, if we're gazillionaires and we can afford when people do this. But, if Pat's not a gazillionaire. She can't afford to support that. So, you know, if we
Absolutely
can't afford
not.
If somebody messes up, then we just have to make sure we protect ourselves. And, again, you know, our gut usually tells us, you know, but again, if my father hadn't died, now I think it's kind of funny because my father wouldn't co-sign the apartment loan for him. And Miles is a good guy. And imagine on my father's funeral, if my father's message, see, can you see how this could have been screwed up if I wasn't dead? And you casually hear a conversation that he's moving out that he didn't tell you. So it's one of those things, you know, sometimes, you know, in this day and age, because, you know, it's so hard, you know, and if you go to court, it's so hard to win against certain things. So always protect yourself. Now, I see we have Jackie in California. Have we spoken to her before?
We have spoken to Jackie before, Cindy. We have also, we've spoken to her both on the radio show, but she's also done a private with you. And she wanted to call in today, much like Elaine, to give yet another testimonial here. So let's see what Jackie has to say. Yeah,
I love
testimonials. I do. So let's speak to Jackie in Cali. Hello, Jackie. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Jackie.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
So my testimonial is I'm going through a divorce, and my you told me months and months ago that my husband was going to be very needy and whiny and manipulating and all of that. Well, he's still doing it.
Why am I not surprised?
And this happened again several days ago. I went like a good 6 weeks without talking to him. I don't even talk to him, texting. And now he's asking for me to meet up with him at a restaurant or somewhere, but he won't tell me what he wants, the question. And so I've asked him, send me your question. What is it? But he won't. And
well,
why
would you agree to meet him when, you know, maybe he wants to shove some papers for you to sign or something in your face? You know, he's not your boss anymore, Jackie. And you're
no.
So the fact that he wants to meet you in a restaurant but not telling you why, I would say the days are over of you calling the shots and you telling me I have to do something because you snapped your fingers. You know, I don't have time for nonsense. You know, who knows? Maybe he wants you to co-sign a car loan. You know what I'm saying? And there you are in front of him and saying, you know, it's much harder to say no, and he knows you. It's much harder for you to say no if you're there because you're a nice person.
Yeah. Manipulate.
So
I don't intend on meeting with him. I can't handle it. I just cannot emotionally handle talking to him or even receiving text messages from him. I can't handle it.
Right.
And that was the question is, do you think he's in financial trouble or something? Because there is a
Are you legally divorced yet?
Not yet, but in May.
Okay,
the papers are rolling.
Okay, because who knows if he's going to tell you he's got some kind of credit card debt that he's not going to sign those papers unless you pay off this credit card. I mean, it doesn't look like it's good. And you know, you're getting a divorce. You really should not be meeting with him personally. Because you don't know if he's going to make you say something, do something. But, he looks like he's got some sort of agenda. And, you know, you're supposed to get through with this divorce. You wanted to just go through and not meet him. And, you know, you might have some inkling of why he wants to meet you. Do you have some gut feeling on it?
My gut feeling is that maybe he's having, because of that one car loan, maybe
it's something to do with a car. It's something to do with a car, okay?
Yeah. And I think that's what it is with the car.
What does he want you to take over the loan? He wants you to take over the loan. It's something that has, something to do with him wanting you to take over that loan, or he's not going to sign the papers. So
Well, actually, he did sign, and now everything is in default. I don't know why. Anyway, I think that's what it is too.
It's a manipulation to make guilt you into, you know, taking over something. And, you know, I remember when I was getting a divorce and supposing my husband had paid, I don't know, like 4 years down on the car I just got, 4 years down or, you know, something like that. So, I don't know, 3 years down. So I thought I only had 2 years of a car loan to pay off. And I thought it was paid off. And then I got 3 more years came in the mail.
Oh,
he never did what was part of the deal that he was supposed to do. What I'm trying to tell you is we trust people, and we don't see it in writing. We believe if you say you did this, then you did it.
Yeah.
So
and that's true. That's true.
And that's why I'm trying to say I've learned the hard way from trusting people saying they did what they're supposed to do and then paying another $10,000 because they didn't do what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
So you don't want to meet with him. He's not going to play fair with you. He's going to try to push your guilt buttons and make you feel bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing left here for you to do. And just be careful because you meeting with him, now, you never know. He's a nasty son of a bitch. So if you just walk out and say, no, I don't want to do this, you never know if he's going to say you scratched his car, you smacked him. You know, when you're getting a divorce, you can't really meet with people because you never know what they're going to say you did that you didn't do.
Yeah.
So,
no.
And, you know, I don't think this man believes the divorce is going to go through. Somehow he thinks, I don't know, the 11th hour, this isn't going to go through. So try to just know, know that he's going to whine, he's going to manipulate, and right now it's all about money for him. So if he can get another dollar out of you,
probably.
That's what he's, so
yeah.
I don't think he wants to be.
Even my lawyer said, oh, you need to, we need to do additional things. Anyway, just so he doesn't go after my 401, but he doesn't have a lawyer.
Because it could have something to do with your 401, too. He might want you to take over that, you know, do something with a car payment, and then he won't go after your 401k. I mean, he's going to try to scare you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, never trust people like this because, you know, you think the deal is signed, sealed, delivered. It's, you know, he doesn't think it's yet, so watch your back with him.
I will. I blocked him from my phone, so he can't send me a message. He can send me an old-fashioned mail to my P.O. box if he wants to, but I just don't want to hear him. I can't handle it.
Well, and again, nor should you. And, you know, what I do see is a very nice relationship in the future, money being very good. Now that you've, you know, sort of severing the ties with him.
Okay.
So, you have a really good future. Again, it's funny how much they try to manipulate us, but, you know, if he wants something from you, it's funny how he isn't telling you. Can you see how once we agree to meet these people without knowing why, we're already in part of the deception and we're being sort of roped into things. So, you know, I hope you're just seeing that, you know, people are always trying to get us to do things and whether we're consciously agreeing to it or not. So everything we do with people is sort of a contract, you know, and there are sacred contracts and, you know, legal contracts. But if you met up with him, you're agreeing to do something that's deceptive on his terms. So I think that's why something wasn't sitting right inside of you, more than anything else. You just didn't sound right or feel right, correct?
Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah.
And I
knew it had to do something with money and whining at me about money. And it's always been about money. Always.
And it's never going to stop being. It doesn't matter how long you're divorced from people.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, especially if there's children involved, you're always going to hear them whining about money. Thank God you don't have children, but for those of us who do, we hear the whining. And, you know, part of it is because women have worked now and we're cash cows to these men. So for them to not have us who's been a cash cow, I mean, they just lost their prized possession here. They just lost their annuity. They just lost, you know, the best thing that ever happened to them. So they think that they still own us, and they can't believe that they don't have the money that they used to have. So you can understand why they're whining.
Yeah, I know. You know what? He makes more money than I do. Not a heck of a lot more, but good enough. And I'm not going to ask for any alimony or nothing. I just want a clean cut, done. Like, you go your way.
You're already being more than fair, but he still wants to get more out of you.
Probably. Yeah.
And it's all about money.
Taking over the car.
Right. Can you see they're always trying to get a little more money out of us, a little more suckering. And, you know, I can't warn people enough. When you're getting a divorce, you know, you try to play by the rules. I still, you know, handed over whatever money and the bills are supposed to be paid. And all I know is when I had paid my credit card off, but when the divorce came through, my husband said, by the way, you owe $10,000 on your card. I only paid minimums. So, you know, people will always try to get us to be suckers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going through a divorce, when you're dealing with people, make sure you pay your own things, you watch your own money.
I do.
Because he's just trying to get another. I mean, it could be 50 cents more he wants out of you. He wants the deposit bottles that are sitting in the garage that are worth a dollar. I mean, who knows? It becomes ridiculous, but just
he's
know that you don't.
Always been about money with him.
And it's funny. When it's always about money, it's always about money. And the truth of the matter is these kinds of people hook up with people who are hardworking and generous, and they get a lot out of us because we don't nitpick and penny pinch. So, no. You know, and it's frightening. You think they would realize, boy, you got a pretty good deal, you know. Be grateful you had what you had. Now leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah. As long as he's going to be all right in the future. And, like, I don't want to be
Why do you care? Why do you care?
Well, I'm not a mean person. I don't want even people, strangers to be
Well, that's
in
why
harm.
You can see. Now, you can see you're still protective of him. So if he turns around and says, I need you to do this because of this, that, and that, you're going to feel sorry for him and you're going to protect him. This is a man who is not really giving you your rightful legal share. You're willing to take less. You know, you're asking nothing from him, and yet you still have that need to protect him. And what happens is when we have these false thinkings about people, the universe usually smears our face in shit. A week from now, you might find out he took out a credit card in your name and his name, and there's $20,000 that has to be paid off. So I'm always warning people, don't feel sorry for these people. Narcissists take care of themselves. They always take care of themselves. And, you know, if they get scammed a little bit because they're not with you, they got to learn. They got to learn that they're a bigger scam artist than even they are. But it's, again, you know, you don't. I'm not asking you to be mean about it, but feeling sorry for people who are really getting a good deal and would probably take everything out from us if they could is something that's a very Christian trait, but it's something that still allows people to take advantage of us. And just keep that in mind a little bit, that you're feeling sorry for a man who protected himself, has hidden money beside that, and things that, you know.
You think he did?
Yeah, he hid money. That's why I didn't want to really bring this up to you, but what I saw in these cards is this man, you gave him too much warning you were going to divorce him, so he's been stashing money for years.
Okay.
So a lot of time, what you're going to realize now that you're a single woman, that things don't cost as much as you thought they did. Somehow you're saving more money. How come you don't have his income and you only have yours and you're saving money? Like, huh?
Yeah.
You mean it really didn't cost that much to heat the house? It didn't really mean... All the things that they told us cost a lot more money than they did is what they stashed away. Realize, I'm just giving you a little heads up with him. Don't feel sorry for him. And any time I ever feel sorry for somebody who screwed me over financially, the universe always, always gives me a rude awakening why I'm wrong about feeling sorry for that person. And I don't want that to happen to you. I mean, I've seen it too many times in my life that I'm just trying to save you from it. Don't feel sorry for him.
Okay, I won't. I'll definitely try.
It's like feeling sorry for a piranha. You know, feeling sorry for a piranha.
Yeah, I know, that's true. And I do feel good, and I am so much happier, and all that positive stuff, and I'm having fun, and I'm working, and all.
And you're enjoying your life.
It's been good. Absolutely. And I really am.
Well, good luck to you.
And Mr. Wright.
Well, yeah, and
you
that takes a little.
You said he was coming, right?
Right, and that takes a little bit of time. It's, you know, the universe really wants to kind of wait till your papers are, you know, signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah.
Because if your ex knew you had somebody else, you know, he could just stop the divorce at the last minute. He can do, you know, he could say he's got new evidence, he's got new stuff, new financial stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want him slowing this up. You know, the only reason he didn't drag it out was he doesn't want to spend money on lawyers. So had that not been the case, he would have dragged it out. So, you know, that man,
I'm
the
just
man
looking
is
forward to me.
Good. And
that's when,
look forward
that's
to
when the divorce will be final in May, and then I'm free.
Right, exactly. And he's just really trying to get one last hurrah out of you. So,
one last rise out of me.
Right, one last nickel, one last dime. So, you know, just. You know, you could even say, I wish I could, but I can't. I'm too busy. And whatever you got to say, but just don't meet with him.
I won't. I don't want to. Anyway,
good.
Well
thank good
you
luck
ever
to
so
you,
much.
And thanks for having listened. I know you're one of the people that listened when you got guidance. You know, you watched your back, you moved forward, your eyes were opened.
Yeah.
And again, the little bit of feeling sorry for him is still little rose-colored glasses on. You know, when I felt sorry for my ex, the universe really let me know how much he stole from me. And I'll tell you, that's the last time I ever felt sorry for that. So I'm just telling you, be careful who we feel sorry about.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I'll just keep ignoring him, and I have him blocked on my phone, and I just don't want to hear from him.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing
your
story with us.
Thank you. I'll keep
you
posted.
Oh, great. We love that.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, didn't you hear sort of the same theme of everybody feeling sorry for everybody?
Yep, I did.
And, you know, how many times had you done that with your ex? Do you remember that?
Yep. I've done it with more than just my ex.
We've done it with a lot of people, right? We feel sorry for them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of learn the hard way later on when we realized we felt sorry for the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, with her, I can't imagine what he, you know, I just can't imagine what he wanted from her, you know. You know, give me some more money. It's just crazy. Now, what I'm seeing for Nicole, because I'm going to do a few cards pulled on my Nicole tonight.
Oh, boy.
Is very good money.
Oh,
that
yeah?
Money, yep.
Good, because my mind is working, Cindy, and I was actually talking to somebody about it today.
Oh, so you had a new idea today, because I never really do readings on you very often, but for some reason
I've had this new idea, and actually my spirit guides are telling you about it because it actually involves you.
Oh, does it?
It does. So we're going to talk about that off of the air. But yeah, I have this thing, and I got like a little nonprofit idea on top of that. And yeah, I'm moving forward with a bunch of different things. I've organized a lot of the stuff that I had been working on and not finishing in the past. And like I told you, whatever, I've been compiling stuff, and I'm finally, you know, nearly completely organized. And and the next 6 weeks for me are going to be very, very key. And you know, you and I are going to have a serious conversation in that time as well. So yeah.
Right. And I'm so glad to hear your ideas and moving
and
forward.
And you will
thinking.
Be very, very happy also, because, you know, we always tell people that we always tell people that in any capacity, you know what, you have to ask for what you want and this and that, and don't be complacent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, as everybody knows, I'm very, very happy at my job. I love my job. I love what I do. I love the atmosphere, you know, and I think that it's fantastic, and it came to me at such a crucial time in my life. But I do work very, very hard. And whereas in the past, I have never been one to really stand up and ask for raises and this and that and everything else. But also what I've done is I pulled aside both the vice president of operations as well as the vice president of – actually, I'm sorry, the president of the development of the franchise that I work for. And I basically looked both of these gentlemen in the eye and I said, listen, I said, my review is coming up in May. Before that review happens, I said, I need both of you, you know, in a conversation, strictly confidential, because here's the thing. I know what I'm worth. I know that if I went to a different place, especially in the city, I could be making double what I'm making here. And, you know, you guys give lists of people that work for this company that are making over six figures. And I want to know when my name is going to get on that list.
Wow.
So I completely like stormed the castle, so to speak, and both of them said that I was on the fast track to, you know, a lot of different things, and you know, it was a very, very good conversation. So yeah, so I'm like sticking up for myself, and I'm doing things that I need to be doing in addition to this idea that does involve you. So.
Oh, good. And that's what we always have to keep moving forward, thinking forward on,
yep.
You know, how we can make more money, how we could do, you know, better, how we could be more successful. And you're young and you have all these great thoughts. And, of course, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And even after the show, if you want to call me, I have a few minutes. So if,
oh,
you, even if you're not too, Okay. And I want to tell our listeners that I am doing a workshop on March 30th at the Starving Artist Cafe in Franklin Square. The information is on my website, and it's on the book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. We've had a phenomenal response to it, and I think just going more in detail of what we try to do on this show and, you know, get people's blinders off, open their eyes, and, you know, mainly what I do all day long is try to get the good people to stop feeling guilty about things that are not their fault.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, and to get them to, you know, stop wanting to rescue everybody, because we go down like a Titanic when we're rescuing everybody after a while. So, you know, with you, I know you're right on your way. The cards show for you. Nobody's going to need to rescue you because you're doing a pretty good job on yourself.
Doing it myself.
You know, you're doing it yourself. And
I'm doing it myself.
You're doing it yourself. You're speaking up. And doesn't it feel good to speak up and assert what you need and what you want?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And I actually said that to somebody that I work with today, because somebody in my company was giving an opportunity that a lot of people feel is not warranted. And a lot of people feel that it hasn't really been fully earned. And, of course, the people that work very, very hard for the company were amongst those saying these things, you know. And I turned around and I just said, fuck it. And they're like, well, aren't you angry? I said, does it piss me off that I'm not getting my just due? I said, a little bit. I said, but I'm dealing with that on my own. I said, but being mad at her for getting something is not going to give it to you. And being upset about it or taking it away from her is not going to give it to you either. I said, so if you want your opportunities, I said, create them. Do it yourself. Don't wait for somebody to hand something to you, because you're going to be waiting for a long time.
Exactly. And it's funny because you're going to love this, because, you know, my Mac is open and it popped up on Facebook and it said, if you're searching for the one person that will change your life, take a look in the mirror.
I absolutely love it.
And I think that's a really good sort of, you know, note for this show. You know, we have to start with, changing ourselves, asserting ourselves, speaking up. And I think you've learned much more how to speak up, you know, better than me when you were younger. Can you see that?
Yes.
I mean, you're assertive.
I've got a bigger mouth now.
Right. But
you know what, when I was younger, I didn't want to burn any bridges, and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to piss anybody off. I didn't want to be the bad guy, you know, and now I don't give a shit if I'm the bad guy. If you perceive me as being the bad guy, sorry about that, you know.
Right.
Sorry for your perspective, but I'm not going to change mine.
No, and I, you know, I'm so glad to hear all the changes that are happening in your life, and I think, you know, you could see even with our clients as they're calling, can you see how much, how they're changing?
Yeah.
That's
why I really love when they call in, you know, just to give updates like Jackie did today, like Elaine did, you know, and even Pat and stuff like that, you know, like it makes me happy when these people call in, because sometimes you need that, you know,
right,
and sometimes when people listen to the show and they're constantly hearing about what's going wrong in people's lives, you know, they start getting the impression of, oh, my God, well, not even this is going to work now. You know, and they get that defeatist attitude. But when we have people coming in to say, hey, listen, you know what? You guys were right. It took a year. It took 2 years, but you guys were right. Or, you know, I finally got it, or it finally sunk in, or any of the above, people just kind of, they get that glimmer of hope again.
Right. And just know that our job is always to give people that glimmer of hope, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
absolutely.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. I want to thank you
so much.
Nicole, if you want to dial me after, you know, if you have a minute, that would be great.
Well, actually, yeah, absolutely, I will.
Okay. And good night, everybody. We'll speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.